Now we have in chapter 13 here, and the great theme of this chapter is warning against and the test of false prophets and false gods. This is a very remarkable chapter, and we'll be dealing with this here and also later. Now, he says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Now, friends, this is the answer to a great many people today that say, well, how do you explain, Dr. McGee, that some of these false prophets around today, they're accurate at times? And how do you explain that apparently in certain meetings, some people seem to get a healing? How do you explain that? Well, I don't explain it. To begin with, I think there probably be a natural explanation for it, but I don't need to go into that. God says that when a false prophet comes along and performs a sign and comes to pass, you are not to believe him if he denies the great truths of the Christian faith. That is the principle that is put down here. It's very important. And he says, and that prophet and that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And when these false prophets attempt to take you into some false cult, a false religion, why, notice what the penalty was then, was death. They were to be stoned to death. This is something here that they should know. Now, when we get to the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, he'll give us a test for false prophets. Israel had no problem in detecting false prophets. That is, they were given a biblical test, a God-given test, that surely would ferret them out. Now, I want to read beginning at verse 5. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now, this is something here, friends, that today has a marvelous application for us, and it reveals the mind of God. There was a time in this nation, I can remember as a boy, that the reading of the Bible in the schoolroom was just a normal procedure. I remember it as a boy. I must confess, I don't think it was ever very meaningful to me, but that doesn't mean that it was not important to have that. I do recall it that it was the Word of God, and that was probably the only impression left upon me was, well, this is the Word of God. But today, we have let the unbeliever come in. We've let those that are in cults and those that actually are opposed to Christianity in the Bible. And I'm not sure today, but what they are the majority. And they have taken over. Now, that could never have happened in Israel, because here is something that was very extreme. If there appeared in Israel one who was attempting to take God's people away from the worship of God, why, extreme surgery was used. And friends, when you got a cancer, the best thing is to cut it out. I've learned that personally, that that's the way that you must deal with it. And this may seem extreme to a few soft-hearted and soft-headed folk, but this is the way God dealt with it, because it was an awful cancer that came in. And if you want to know how bad it really was for God's people in that day, read the story of Ahab and Jezebel that plunged the nation into idolatry and brought the judgment of God upon them that eventuated in them being carried into captivity. That is the northern kingdom. Now, that's how serious it is. Now, verse 6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people, which are round about you, nigh unto thee, are far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Now, this you may say, well, this is so extreme. It's radical. I agree that it is. For this soft and affluent society we live in, this today sounds like a foreign language. It sounds something that is extremely, well, it just doesn't belong to the present day at all. And again, we are seeing this. Now, it was a serious matter for a man to stone his own brother to death, to be the first one to throw a stone at him when he'd gone off into this type of thing. And that seemed to be a very severe sort of thing. But it ultimately saved many lives. And again, read the story of Ahab and Jezebel. Read the time when the northern kingdom was carried away into captivity. Now, they were carried away because of idolatry. The northern kingdom went into idolatry. Now, the southern kingdom didn't observe the Sabbath day, the sabbatic years, every seventh year. But the northern kingdom went into captivity because of that. And literally, thousands of them were slain. Now, it would have been better had a few been slain than for a great multitude to be slain. Now, we are experiencing right now in this nation of ours, we've had so many soft-headed and soft-hearted judges, and they have no Christian background whatsoever. And as a result, they do not think of our laws as they were made in the context of that which is Christian. And that which is Christian is obedience to law, friends, and that a penalty must be exacted. And as a result, criminals have been turned loose. Now, I live in a very fair city. But in our city, well, it was some time ago that in just one night, why, 7 women were attacked. A couple of them were killed. One was raped. The others were hospitalized because of the fact that they were severely injured. Now, wouldn't it have been better if one criminal had been given the very utmost in penalty and sent to prison for life with no chance of him ever being pardoned, and that would have deterred crime? Now, don't tell me it doesn't, because it does. And as a result, why, we would have saved lives and protected a great host of people. You see, we've been so short-sighted, and this seems to be extreme to us today. I've read this because I think that there's a great principle put down here that we could learn for our day. Now, verse 10. I'm going to read this because it's extreme. Thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Now, this is the death penalty. And we see today that we say it's uncivilized. Well, I guess that this crowd would call God uncivilized. But I wonder where they got the little civilization and the little culture that they have. It all came by way of the Word of God, friends. What this nation owes to the Word of God. And now it's getting away from it. And so we think we're becoming civilized. But it's more dangerous today on the streets of our cities than it is in a jungle trail today in Africa. And why? Well, because we have gotten away from the death penalty, and that's uncivilized. But actually today, it's safer in the jungles of another country. I was in the jungles in the mountain region of Venezuela. And friends, may I say to you, I felt safer down there at night, walking down actually a jungle road. And they said there were a few boa constrictors around, but I felt safer there than I feel on the streets at night of our great cities. And then far as locking doors were concerned at night, they just didn't seem to be doing that type of thing. And I felt like, my, maybe instead of us sending missionaries down there, maybe they ought to send some missionaries to us today. This is a great section, seems very uninteresting, but very important as a great principle here. Now, verse 11, "And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you." That is, they were not to depart from the living and true God. And as long as they served him, there was blessing. When they failed to serve him, why, there came upon them the curses, the judgments came upon them. And that is their story. Now, we find here, and I'll read just a few verses now, beginning at verse 12, "If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be true," in other words, they're not to do anything rashly, "a thorough investigation must be made and the truth arrived at, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shall burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be an heap forever, shall not be built again." Now this again is very severe, but here is where a city, an entire city, would be destroyed. Now suppose there's somebody in that city that hadn't gone after the way. Well, the question would be, had they protested it? Or had they sat lackadaisically aside? And if they had done nothing about it, they were to be judged along with the rest. You see, a great many folk think it's Christian to be silent. And there's so many Christians that won't take a stand on important issues, on when actually truth is at stake. And I don't mean on this petty stuff that we have today. And as a result, why, they like to think, well, and you hear the old cliché, silence is golden. Well, friends, sometimes it's yellow, not golden. And we do need to take a stand. God made it clear that if a man lived in a city, why, he might be in a minority, but he's to protest that which is wrong.